Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner who has a product, a service, or a message that you believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look into the real-world marketing and networking tactics and strategies for getting what you have in front of you to a lot more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and now let's get started. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple. Super excited for today's episode. Obviously, you know, it's Thursday, so it is another interview episode. And super excited for my guest today for four reasons. Number one, they are a content marketing expert. And obviously, for anyone that's been listening to this podcast for the last 4.5 years, you know how much Nancy and I are big on creating content. Also, they're an SEO strategist. And for anyone that has been working with me or following any of my information on LinkedIn, you know, I always talk about optimizing your LinkedIn profile, much like you would a website. And that all revolves around SEO. But the individual I have for you today is also a podcaster and an author, which I am both of those as well. So there's a lot of connecting of the dots here and just looking forward to talking about all that and more. So Allison Verhaelen, welcome to today's episode.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So before we dive into obviously the multiple facets that make up you and your business with the content marketing, the SEO, the podcasting, the book, let's go back before we go forward. And if we could land on a specific moment in time for you that you feel was the catalytic moment that set you on the path that you're now currently on. Thinking about that right now, what was that moment for you?
I'm trying to remember what year it was. It was probably 12 or 13 years ago when I got fired.
And that was the big, you know, push?
That was, yeah, that I have someone else I listen to who always talks about, you know, leaving corporate to be an entrepreneur. She says, did you jump off the cliff or were you pushed? And in my case, it's kind of both. I was pushed and I kind of dipped my toes in the water of entrepreneurship without realizing it, got another day job, kept writing blog posts on the side, and then took the leap jumped off the cliff myself. So a little bit of both there.
Yeah. And sometimes it takes a little bit of both of those things to really kind of set you in the direction, you know, that you're currently on. Now, prior to what you're doing now, what were you doing in corporate that kind of landed you in that position where you were vulnerable to being laid off or, you know, losing your job to then kind of push you into what you're doing now?
I was just answering phones. It was not, it was a job, not a career. I had actually had always wanted to be a writer and was told growing up that writers don't make any money and I should choose a more practical career. So I went to college, majored in English and psychology, which just happens to be the perfect degree for content marketing. Had no clue this was an option. Did not know what this was. Thought I wanted to work in publishing because I figured if I couldn't get a job making or writing books, maybe I could get a job and make money making books. Graduated in 2009, right after the job market crashed. So there were no jobs to be had in publishing or really anywhere else. So yeah, took those jobs just answering phones. I was a receptionist and then I was in customer service. Lost one job. And my roommate at the time, her dad, who was an attorney, was awesome and offered to give me stuff to do around his office until I got back on my feet. And one of the things he needed was someone to write blog posts for his law firm. And he knew I had a strong writing background. So he offered me the gig and I was more than happy to get paid to write. So I jumped at that chance and really never looked back. Like I said, I did eventually get another day job. Again, it was just answering phones. It was a job. It was not a career. Kept writing on the side and the writing just kept growing to the point where I could not do both anymore. I kept getting more clients. So ditched the day job eight and a half years ago now and have been doing this full time ever since.
That's amazing. And, you know, again, it's that first opportunity that you're given where someone hears about your gift and your talents and says, okay, prove yourself. And then you do. And as they say, you know, the lid is then taken off. And once that confidence is there and the skills are honed and obviously grown, there's nothing that we can't accomplish. So in that first gig, working for your friend's father's law firm and writing the blog for the firm, what do you feel was the biggest lesson that you learned? Because again, you were writing for yourself, right? You were mm-hmm. blogging for yourself, but then it's almost like you took on that ghostwriter aspect where you had to write on behalf of someone else's company, speaking in that company's voice. What was the big lesson or I would say aspect of writing that you learned writing as someone else instead of writing as Allison?
I think the biggest thing I learned was the call to action and how important that was. That was something that really took a while for me to learn how to do that well. The other thing was incorporating a story. I mean, everyone thinks about content for law firms and how boring that is. But lawyers solve really big problems for people and prevent really big problems for people. So finding the story in that and creating content around that story, I actually found pretty easy and really fascinating. And I think that was one of the biggest lessons that has carried over into all of the writing that I do for all of my clients is you have to find that story and focus on that because that's what's going to draw readers in.
You know, the one book that my wife and I are just in love with is called Marketing Made Simple by Donald Miller. You know, he has the story brand method and it's really kind of mapping things out in a way. And it's funny, we even created this website wireframe to kind of mimic what Donald has created so that people can better tell their stories when someone visits their website, whether it's through SEO or just storytelling. And it's so important. And you know, a CTA or a call to action is so important, whether you're doing a video, a podcast, a book, a blog. You need to create a journey and a path for someone to go down. Something that I always tell people is you have to ask to get. You have to ask in order to get. So if you're just kind of just ending a blog or you're just ending a video and you're just ending a podcast episode and you're not giving a directive of where you want someone to be taken to, you can't expect an end result on the back end of that. So through that experience and in understanding the power of a call to action, and you and I both know there's so many people that we work with, and it's such a simple thing. Why do you find that people forget the call to action and don't put more value on it in helping them grow their businesses?
That's a good question. I wonder if there's enough emphasis on the call to action. I think a lot of the people that I work with or a lot of the blog posts that I see out there, people know they need to be blogging. They've heard they need to be blogging. They haven't really heard about or thought about blogging as part of their overall marketing strategy. They think, well, if I blog, then people will find my website and then they'll figure it out from there. And I think assuming that people will figure it out from there is one of the biggest mistakes you can make in marketing. People will find your content, say, okay, great, this was awesome information. I'm going to take this and use it. And they leave and they never come back. So the biggest mistake you can make is letting them leave without having some sort of call to action. The other mistake I see a lot of people making is having the wrong call to action, especially in a B2B industry or professional services with that longer buyer journey. Going straight for the reach out and call me or buy my stuff is not always what they're ready for at that moment, especially with a blog post. Sometimes they're earlier in the buyer journey. They're just doing some research, finding some information, figuring out what you're all about. They're not always ready for that yet. So people, I think, forget that a great call to action can be follow us on social media, sign up for our newsletter, register for my webinar, download XYZ, this PDF or checklist or whatever, so that you can capture that lead. You have a way to follow up with them and continue to stay top of mind until they are ready to buy.
I think that's such an important thing to acknowledge because everyone in business, whether you're building online or not, you need to give a directive. You need to be very clear of the action that you want someone to take, whether it's even on YouTube. Like if you've watched any YouTube video ever in your entire life, I promise you, you've probably heard, please like and subscribe to my channel. Like you're giving a directive. You're creating a path for someone to say, okay, I like this video content. I'm going to smash that subscribe button like they want me to. The same goes for a book. You know, in the second chapter of my most recent book, I talk about optimizing your LinkedIn profile. And my call to action at the end is that if you would like to optimize it, head to my website, download my free infograph. So it's giving that specific path or action that someone needs to take to get to that result. Now, the marriage between content marketing and SEO is there. It's whether you're creating content, you're marketing yourself, SEO plays such a vital and powerful role in so much. Because what do people say? No one's seeing my stuff. Why am I not getting engagement? Why am I not appearing in searches? So, you know, Allison, let's talk about the correlation between not only creating great content, but making sure that you're also embedding great SEO involved. And how does one go about doing that?
Yeah, so that's something that I've learned. I think if you had told me when I started this that I would need to learn SEO, that I would have been too intimidated to even try. But it just kind of happened naturally, just because, like you said, there is this marriage between content and SEO. You cannot have one with the other, without the other. And the more I learned that, the more I started learning about SEO. I think for me, it started with keywords. Someone actually sent me a screenshot of some keyword research they had done for me just on the fly, just because they were interested. And they sent me that screenshot. And that was my first look into, wait, people are looking for this word rather than this word. And this is getting more searches. And they really want to know about this. And I found that fascinating. So that kind of led me down the SEO rabbit hole. And I never really found my way back out. So yeah, you need great content. That you need the content, because that's what Google reads to figure out what your website is all about. So you need to have, yes, your website needs to be optimized. Yes, you need to have all of this stuff done on the front end, but it's also something you need to do on a continuous basis. If you ever hear an SEO person say that they can set up your website for SEO and then you can just sit back, relax, and watch the leads come in without doing anything else ever again, run as far away as you can from that person, because that's a snake oil salesperson and you don't want to have anything to do with them. That SEO is not something you can set and forget. It has to be done continually. And part of that is creating content. Google prioritizes newer content over older content because they assume it's more accurate, more relevant. Sometimes that's the case, not always, but that's the game that we have to play. So yeah, you got to create great content. You got to figure out what your audience, the questions your audience is asking. And in marketing, I'm sure you've heard about the importance of finding your niche. And that is as important in SEO as it is in any other aspect of marketing, because people who are, I was just talking to someone the other day who said they used to rank really well for like Chicago divorced financial planners or something like that. It was like a really long tail keyword. It was like four words long, very specific, someone who is looking for something really specific, right? So they would rank well for that content, not get a ton of leads, but the leads they got were higher quality because they were looking for something really specific and they matched that. So think about that when you're doing your SEO, is what is your specific audience looking for? Not what is everyone looking for, because if everyone is looking for it, then chances are pretty good that everyone is creating content around it, right? Like AI writing software being a perfect example right now. Everyone is talking about AI writing software. Is that really what your audience is looking for? Is it worth it for you to compete in that crowded market? Or do you want to focus on something specific that your audience cares about?
Yeah, I mean, it's taking the temperature of your network. And, you know, my wife and I always talk about like niching down, right? You don't want to... It's actually something that Seth Godin says. He says, you never want to market to people. You want to market with people. So it's the way that I correlate that, and what I call it, is something called the PSP, the passenger side perspective. So you always want to put yourself in the shoes of the person that you're marketing to, you know, your ideal client, your target market, the person on the other side of the computer screen. What piece of content do they need to see from you, or what, aspect of the message that you have in the content that you're writing, what do they need to hear where they can really resonate with you and your message that's going to bring them closer to you instead of pushing them further away? And again, just backtracking slightly with the whole snake oil salesperson, I'm totally with you on that, because you see these slimy marketing tactics, like the 6 weeks to six figures type of people, right? And for me, something that I always go by, and this is something that, you know, you need to run this through the filter of business. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. What people fail to recognize, people like you, people like me and my wife, you know, everyone is looking for that quick fix of hiring someone or taking a course or investing in a program that's going to ultimately change their business in a month.
Mm-hmm.
What people fail to recognize, again, you know, you're where you are right now. It's been an 8.5 year journey. You know, for me, it's been longer, but everyone looks at where we are right now and say, oh, they were an overnight success. Oh, what was that one thing that they did that really spun the wheel in the direction that they wanted it to? And it's not one thing. It's small things compounded over time, but more so, it's about the patience that you have as a business owner to do the things necessary that you need to do to get to your business to where you needs to be. With that being said, with everything that you're doing through the content marketing coaching, with your SEO, what is the like outside of people that are working with you, what is a common mistake that you see entrepreneurs doing online in regards to content marketing and in regards to SEO that if they just took a step back and looked at it from a different perspective or out of a different lens, it's something they can easily fix?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head when you talked about the importance of putting yourself in the shoes of the person you're trying to reach. What is it that they need? And I do think that's something that people forget about a lot. They make it all about them and their business. And they really forget about what is it that your target audience needs. And not incorporating a story into it is also something that I see people doing a lot. They get the tips out there. They get the facts and figures. That's great. We do need that. But people need to know why they need to care. And especially with lawyers, I think there's a certain amount of just assuming that people know why it's important. And sometimes that's the case, but a lot of the time, not so much. Sometimes you do have to spell it out for people. So use that opportunity in your content to spell it out for them and tell them why it's so important and how much better their lives can look once you solve that problem for them. Pain points are another huge thing. What is the problem you are solving? What does that feel like? I think emotions are also super, super important in marketing, in selling, in every aspect of your business. Again, tips and tools are great, but what is that emotional component and how can you tap into that?
I know this is a loaded question and feel free to answer it any way you want. When you categorize the importance of content marketing and the importance of SEO for the beginning entrepreneur, just starting out, they're building out the foundations and the infrastructure to their business. If you were to advise them to go down a specific route, whether it was honing in on their content marketing strategy or their SEO strategy online and offline, where should they spend their first amount of time to get the ball rolling and why?
I think those two really go hand in hand. I don't think it's content marketing or SEO. I think you need both, and ideally you need them at the same time. Yes, there are technical aspects of SEO that are, you know, aside from the content, but you always need to make sure that content is optimized for those searches and for the people who are looking for you. The one mistake I see, especially with people who are starting out, is they get on social media and they're active on social media and they don't bother getting their own website up and running, whether because they don't think they need a website or they don't want to get a website up. Social media is great for getting in front of people, for distributing your content, but you don't own that content. The social media platform owns that content. And if you're really going to own your search engine, play the game of Google, you got to write that really long form content that takes a really long time to write. So you don't want that to just disappear. Have that live on your website so that you own it and then use social media to distribute that content.
Couple final questions before we sign off. First, if someone was to ask you, what does make what makes Allison different from other content marketing strategists and SEO strategists out there today? What would your response be to that question?
I think having the writing side, the storytelling side, and the SEO side, that analytical side, is pretty unique. I don't see a lot of other writers out there who have both of those skill sets.
Love that. Now, if someone is interested in learning about you and your services and your business, whether it is a content marketing strategy, whether it is SEO, or even learning about your books and your podcast, where's the best way for people to get in touch with you, whether it's online or offline?
So my website is AV, as in my initials, Allison Verhaelen. It is avwritingservices.com. You can always reach me at info@avwritingservices.com. I am also on most of the social medias. I do spend a lot of time on LinkedIn, so you can always find me there. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram intermittently. And I do have a YouTube channel, so you can check out my videos over there.
Awesome. So all that information that Allison just talked about, all the links, all the handles and socials will be in the description. So you're not going to have to go too far. So Allison, final question before we sign off today, what does success truly mean to you?
It means freedom. It means being able to do what I want, when I want.
Short, sweet, and to the point. You know, at the time that we're recording this, obviously we were just, you know, going through all these things. And, you know, my wife and I just got back from a 4-day ski vacation up in Vermont. And, you know, we took off Monday. We take off Wednesdays, Fridays, and anyway, but having the ability, as you said, the freedom to kind of make your own schedule and do whatever you want, whenever you want, with whoever you want, that's true success. The monetary aspect of things is a side effect of the positive things that you bring into someone else's life from a personal and business standpoint. So I could not agree more. Allison, I just wanted to thank you so much for being here today. Content marketing and SEO is something that is not talked about enough. And I do appreciate you and all the insights that you gave today. So thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I had a blast.
Absolutely. So as I mentioned before, all the information about Allison, all her services, all her socials will be in the description of this episode. And as a reminder, if anyone would like to start their own subscription to this podcast, Networking and Marketing Made Simple subscription, you can unlock a bonus Friday episode. It's only $2.99 a month. You can cancel any time, and you can find information about how to do so in the description of this episode as well. So everyone, please enjoy the rest of your days, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much again for checking out today's episode. And if you are listening through iTunes, Spotify, wherever you are, please leave me a rating and review. Let me know what you loved, what you would like to see improved, or ideas you have for future episodes. And if you are interested in taking your business to the next level, don't hesitate to go to my website, www.scottaron.net, where you can schedule a free discovery call with me, where I can learn more about you, your business, what you're struggling with, and how we can work together. And don't forget to check out my wife, Nancy, and mine, our free community on Facebook called LinkedIn Leads for Life. We would love to see you in there. Have a great rest of your day. And thank you, everyone, for your support. Grateful for each and every one of you.